guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geeks Review-O-Rama, which is brought to you by the good folks over at OffWorldDesigns.com, where you can use promo code GEEKSRULE to get 10% off your entire order, and that's good for everybody, because you know what? We're inclusive. But also, you can go to BigAndTallMart.com and use the promo code GEEKS10 to get 10% off orders $35 or more. That's where I get all my cool clothes, because hey, I'm a big guy. I like my pants big and baggy because I'm just that awesome. But also GameAccess.ca, Canada's online video game rental service, and everybody else that helps make this show possible. And you'll notice I'm alone. Oh God, am I alone? No, actually, Mrs. Birdman, who would normally be here with me today, is actually preparing for a job interview. So I'm handling this show solo. So think of this as like a rad, but I'm covering other stuff. So what am I going to be talking about today? Well, I'm going to be talking about Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes on the PlayStation 4 as our game of the month. I'm also going to be talking toys. I'm so excited for this because this year is the 30th anniversary of TMNT. And the good folks over at Playmates have been good enough to give me some really awesome TMNT stuff to review. So this is the beginning of the first of three review bits I'm going to do on the TMNT toys from the new Nickelodeon series. And hopefully that will all culminate over the next few months into some really big stuff when the movie comes out in August. We're also going to be talking another movie licensed series of toys from Hasbro. We're going to be looking at Captain America the Winter Soldier. We're going to be looking at the 3-inch figures as well as the Marvel Legends class for this particular series. But I've got movies! We're going to be talking about King of Chinatown, which is actually a documentary I saw at PAX a couple of years ago. Knights of Badassdom, Veronica Mars, and finally, Son of Batman. So, let's hit things off with our GameAccess.ca Game of the Month, where if you use promo code TWIG over there, you can get an extra 5 days added to your free trial. Trust me, it's worth it. So, this game, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, published by Konami, is one of the biggest disappointments of the year. And allow me to preface that. The game is not terrible. The game is actually really friggin' cool. Dare I say groundbreaking in some ways. But this is a game that is tailor-made for services like GameAccess.ca. And you might be asking, well, what the hell do you mean? There are people on YouTube who can speedrun this game in less than 6 minutes. As far as I know, it's not tool-assisted. Well, what does that mean? Well, Metal Gear Solid 5, it's basically a glorified tech demo. You play as Solid Snake. You have to rescue a child prisoner from this prison in Cuba, I think it is, and get them to safety. And it all ties into Peace Walker. It happens about 2 years after Peace Walker, I think. And Kiefer Sutherland replaces David Hayter as the titular Solid Snake. Actually, you know what? I almost caught myself there saying Jack Bauer. It's the same thing. It really is. Kiefer Sutherland doesn't even try to do anything different with his voice because he's that gravelly, "Damn it, Chloe, we're running out of time! Blah! She to you!" And it's kind of disappointing, but then again, I can see why they wanted to do something different, but still, I would pay cash money to get a David Hayter voice pack for this game, and I'm pretty sure everybody else would too. But moving right along. So the core amount of this gameplay circulates around the one mission, rescuing this person, getting them out, but you can also collect intel, which will unlock some stuff, supposedly it unlocks things for the other game. But there's also these side missions where you have to assassinate these two mercenary guys who did some really bad things, rescue somebody, smuggle out intel, stuff like that. And it's basically the same thing on the same map at different points of the day. And I will say the Fox Engine looks amazing. I would love for them to redo Snake Eater or Metal Gear Solid 2. Actually, you know what? Do the Twin Snakes in this engine or something. You know what? Just redo the entire series, because that would be awesome. But the thing is, I can't recommend you buying this game. I recommend you play it. I really do. I played the PlayStation 4 version, and it plays so good. CQC is finally easy. I love it. It's fast. It's fun. The shooting mechanic feels great. It's a great game. But if people buy it, you are setting a horrible precedent for this. And that's why being able to rent this game and keep it for as long as you want is perfect. Go there, max it out, and when Metal Gear Solid 5 comes out, I promise you, this will be included in the full package, because it would be stupid. Why not? It would be like the Uber Special Limited Collector's Edition, vinyl, foil, whatever. I don't know. The fact that Konami's charging for this is ridiculous, but trust me when I say it, just give this game a rent, play it, beat it, get as much as you can out of it, be on the leaderboards, because ultimately, who cares? But play it regardless. Just don't pay a lot of money for this, or wait for a significant price drop before you consider adding this game to your collection. Once again, that was brought to you by GameAccess.ca, where you can buy or rent your video games from Canada's online video game rental service. Alright, well, I want to talk about Ninja Turtles. If you guys have been following my Facebook and my Instagram, both of which are at BirdmanDodd, huge Turtles resurgence, and I'm not entirely sure why. I just recently started getting full core back in to season 2 of TMNT, and the show got picked up for a third season. The movie comes out in August, and I got my hands on some vintage Ninja Turtles, which prompted me to go back in the stores and take a look for some other stuff. And I really want to talk about some of the really cool basic figures that I got sent by the good folks over at Playmates. I got a lot of stuff from all the different waves, and I'm going to be doing reviews of basically figures, vehicles, playsets over the next few weeks. And today will be the beginning of the figures I'm going to focus on, the 5.5-inch ones, and then we're going to go through the other ones as I do more review-o-ramas and kind of tie it into other things as we move forward. Now, the Ninja Turtles toys, to me, have always held a very special place in my heart. I think the toys are creative, they're colorful, they're durable as hell, and they're really, really, really creative. So, going into the second season of TMNT, they've introduced new characters like Rawzar, Mutagen Man's got his first full appearance, Casey Jones, stuff like that. And they sent me a bunch of these figures, and they are utterly fantastic. I think my favorite of the ones that they sent me, I got sent Splinter, Krang, the second Shredder, the little mini turtles, the ninjas in training is what they're called, Casey Jones, Kirby Bat, Spider Bites, Mutagen Man, Squirrelinoid, and then I got the other stuff. And the reason I'm a big fan of Mutagen Man, the original Mutagen Man from the vintage TMNT line was really cool. The fact that you could open up the top of him and you could pour in water into him. It looked like his guts were floating. This one, you can see through the tank, which he's made out of this yellow translucent goo, which is supposed to represent his mutagen body. And then the glass is this tinted bluish green with the gray of the body. And you can pour water inside of him, and it looks like he's actually suspended the guts in fluid, and because, well, it actually is. Now, you can actually fill him with mutagen, too, and there is an action feature on this toy. I think it's really sweet. You can open up one of his hands, pour mutagen in it, so it represents the slime acid touch that was used in the episode. That is really amazingly cool. Another favorite one from this series, only because the detail on this figure's phenomenal, and some of the better posability, was Casey Jones. As you see in his appearance, he uses face paint and a hockey mask to give him his look on the show. He also comes with a hockey stick and a baseball bat. He's got his goalie catcher on his other arm, and it's just an incredibly detailed figure. Another one that I'm a big fan of is their Shredder. This is the second Shredder, which I think is, I want to say, it's a re-release of the one that came out for Comic-Con. Do not quote me on that. But it's a nice-looking figure, too. He's got some nice posabilities, although mine had a slight problem in the wrist with actually the joint being too tight. But still, it looks like he's posing upwards, like, curse you, turtles, sort of thing. But still, you can remove his helmet, see the burnt face underneath. Big fan of that. Another one that I really liked, because you can kind of see where the influence came for this one, kind of reminds me of the pizza monsters that came from the meatballs in the first season of the Turtle Show, and aliens, the squirrelinoids. They are, it looks really cool. In fact, I've actually got mine hanging off my sewer layer playset right below Mutagen Man, and it's just a good-looking figure. In fact, there's almost no bad sculpts in this entire line of figures from the new series. One figure that I see on the pegs a lot, and I didn't get sent this one. I actually bought this one. He's from an earlier series, and the character's called Snakeweed, and he's a bad guy in the first season, and he's this giant plant monster. I see this figure everywhere, and it's such a good figure. I love this one. He's really tall. He's got all these tentacles that shoot out, and it looks cool. Another one that I like out of this one is Leatherhead, who was a bad guy in the original Vintage series. Now he's a good guy. Big, burly-looking figure. He doesn't have a hat or a shotgun, though, but he is a fairly solid figure. Once again, fantastic sculpt. There, like I said, there is not a bad figure in this, and even one that I didn't expect to be as much fun as it was a character called Spider Bites, and he is this little round ball. He's got two points of articulation on his arms. His arms move up and down, and he has these articulated spider arms that plug into his back, and they can move around and do all sorts of neat things. I like the fact that I can hang him off the playset, and I know his arms are not going to fall out. I really like that figure, and they actually have a lot of bad guys for this series, and even some of the other action feature ones. I got Sewer, Toss, and Wrath the other day because I found them for like $5. I'm really impressed how well the action figures still carry over with that goofy element of fun from the original Vintage toy line. So, can I recommend these figures? Absolutely. I think they're fantastic. They display great. Recommendations from what I've seen, I really recommend Mutagen Man, Shredder number 2, Leatherhead, and if you want something kind of neat, and I think these display well on a desk, are the Ninjas in Training. They actually have, like, they're basically the Turtles when they were babies, and they got these little training weapons. Like, Leo's got, like, wooden swords, Mikey's got nunchucks held together by, like, a rope, stuff like that. Really cool stuff. Check them out. Those are from Playmates Toys. Highly recommended. Speaking of toys, Captain America, the Winter Soldier from Hasbro. Of course, there's got to be a toy line with these movies, and Marvel, no different. They sent me a selection of four different figures for this. I got the, and I just want to make sure that I'm getting this name correct. They sent me the Captain America Super Soldier Gear. I got the Grapple Cannon Action figure, and I got the Winter Soldier Precision Strike figure, I think it is. Yeah. And I also got sent the Captain America Marvel Legends series as well. And I'll talk about those in just a minute. For the 3.5-inch figures, basically they are G.I. Joe scale. The one that I got, he's Captain America's in his stealth uniform. I like the sculpt. I like the paint job. I don't like how the gun is so ridiculously oversized where it's hard for him to hold it. And that's at the, and that's because they want to include this action feature, which is basically here, I'm going to fire a giant sucker cup at you. However though, because of the small size, they would display well with, if you have the shield helicarrier or any of the other figures and vehicles in this particular scale. I would consider these better for kids as opposed to collectors, unless you're displaying them. I just don't think, it's not that they're good, I just think you can get better value. However, though, one of the really neat things, because they are in that 3-inch scale, I actually have the Winter Soldier driving a G.I. Joe Hiss tank from Retaliation right now. And he looks really badass, actually. So that's one plus for this. The Captain America Marvel Legends series. This one comes with a build-a-figure. And you're building the Mandroids. And I'm pretty sure those are like S.H.I.E.L.D. guard robots or something. They actually remind me a lot of the Ironmonger Build-A-Figure, which came out, I think it was last year with Iron Man 3. And I got Captain America in his World War II getup, which is by far the superior costume, as opposed to the one we saw in Captain America the Avengers. And I also got a AIM scientist as well. And the AIM scientist is actually one of my favorite figures I've actually ever owned in the Marvel Legends scale. Simply because I love the look of the AIM scientist. They're that yellow, think of Heisenberg with a more triangle head, I guess, in those biocontainment suits. And they're supposed to be the most intelligent of advanced idea mechanics. Comes with two guns, and I like how you can actually get them posed with the holding the rifle action, which I find is one of those features you kind of want in an action figure. You want them to display well. And I think the AIM scientist looks fantastic. Highly recommend that figure. And then the other one is the Captain America in his World War II getup. And he's got a pistol and he's got a shield. Nice sculpt. Not a bad likeness of Chris Evans, but basically, you know, it's Captain America. Doesn't look like Chris Evans, in my opinion. But still, it's a good-looking Marvel Legends figure. These are my favorite scale of figures, because they're like 6 inches. They display really nicely, tons of posability and articulation. Massively recommend those. Haven't had a chance to check out the other figures in the line. I actually really want to collect the Build-A-Figure for this line, because I like the buildable figures. I mean, I've got Apocalypse from a few series back, and I've got the Sentinel from a few series back, and the Ironmonger, and they're some of my favorite toys in my collection. So I hope I'll get a chance to review the Mandroid at some point. Now, on to the movies! Well, the first one we're actually going to talk about is a documentary I saw a couple of years ago at PAX East, and I'm just trying to get my mouse here so I can tell you precisely where this... Did my computer freeze? Anyway, well, that's enough of that, I guess. So, this one comes to us from Psycho Crusher Productions. You can find this on Amazon. I think you can find it via a service called IndiePix. And, well, it's hard to describe this movie because it's not going to be everybody's bag. And what I mean by that is it's a documentary about professional gamer Justin Wong. Justin Wong is a phenomenal fighting game player. The guy's rose through Marvel vs. Capcom 2. He's a Street Fighter, Third Strike player. He's done Street Fighter 4. And this is his journey to become the Street Fighter 4 player at EVO, which is this huge competition that's held in Las Vegas every July. And his manager, Triforce. And surprisingly entertaining. I actually sat down and watched this with Blair about a week ago. And it's a good documentary. It's over an hour long. And there are some special features on this as well. The movie itself, it's entertaining enough because you find out some of the politics that happen in professional gaming. Very similar to professional sports, where some people get screwed over. Some people are using others to advance their career and their own agendas. And you see that gaming as a culture can be taken more seriously than what it has been portrayed necessarily in the media, with movies like, say, Noobs, for example. It's entertaining, and Justin Wong is definitely likable in this. He's just this average kid who helps pay his grandmother's rent. Now he's picked up by, I think it's Evil Empire is the name of the company he's with, I think. And before that, he was with these other guys who Isaiah was managing. I think it's Empire Arcadia or something like that. And it's worth a watch. However, to buy this DVD at $20, I'm going to have to say no, because you look at these special features. The behind-the-scenes stuff is so short. The alternate ending shows what happens when he loses a competition, and it ends on a different note than the movie did originally. And the deleted scenes add virtually nothing, to be quite honest with you. And that's really unfortunate, because I was really hoping they'd have a lot more. Like I said, I saw this at PAX 2011, I'm pretty sure it was. And it's pretty much the same movie that I saw there. So I don't know why it's taken this long for this movie to get distribution. But It is what it is. So King of Chinatown, worth checking out, but you may want to hold on to your bucks a little bit longer as opposed to what you could get, which I'm going to talk about next is, well, this one was another disappointment to me. This one actually really kind of blew me away in how bad it was. And I hate saying that because I really wanted this movie to be awesome. I'm talking about Knights of Badassdom. This is a movie we saw at Comic-Con. A trailer came out like 2 years ago. The movie's been pushed back multiple times. There's been re-edits. It's been pimped out because Summer Glau's in it and Peter Dinklage, Steve Zahn. These guys who are pretty funny and pretty big heavyweights in their own right. And the story is guy breaks up with his girlfriend of X amount of time because he's going nowhere with his life. And the guys are all hardcore nerds and geeks because, you know, that's what's hot right now. And they're like, you know what, we're going to cheer you up. Come out with us for a LARP weekend. For those of you that don't know, LARP stands for Live Action Role Playing. And if you want to have a little bit of fun, go on YouTube and type in Lightning Bolt, Lightning Bolt. That's what this is. Now, that being said, I have a huge respect for LARP. I've actually done LARP before for Vampire the Masquerade and Dungeons and Dragons. And this movie tries to be a comedy. Tries to cram in as many geek references as they can. Hell, Abed from Community is in this. Danny Pudi. And ultimately, it falls short. It's really bad. It's really ridiculously stupid. And I don't know why. Because when you look at the special features on this, they talk with the director. You see the Comic-Con panel. This guy genuinely is a geek. He's got geek cred. He loves what he's talking about. He definitely believes his own hype. And I'm not saying that to insult the guy. No, quite the opposite. What the hell happened to this movie? Just, it seems to jump all over the place. The jokes fall really flat. And it paints a really unflattering light of LARPers, I think. I mean, not all of them are these super weirdos. And I know for movies, things have to be exaggerated to make a point, to make it ha-ha funny. But it's kind of like, it's the funny that, say, the Big Bang Theory is. It's a caricature of nerd culture. And I was really hoping that we'd get that one awesome D&D movie, that one awesome geek culture movie. I mean, it's not Mazes and Monsters or Skullduggery, you know, it's... Man, I'd love to see Spoonie's riff on this, but it's ultimately, it's bad. Is it even worth watching? No. And it's not often that I tell you to plain avoid a movie. No, this movie sucks. And on the front of the cover, they're pushing Peter Dinklage, who's obviously huge because of Game of Thrones. He's in it for like maybe 10 minutes when you really look at how much his character does. He dies really early on in the movie, and he comes back at the end, and it's so stupid. Knights of Badassdom from E1, avoid this, or stream it on Netflix, or if you get a free rental from Redbox or something, pick up something else. No, don't see this movie. It sucks. It's kind of an insult to geek culture. Rage. I should really do a commentary on it, shouldn't I? Moving on to happier territory, this movie, the Kickstarter success, the one that blew everybody away, defied expectations, and showed me the filmmakers and a lot of communities really do care. I'm talking about the Veronica Mars movie. Veronica Mars, for those of you that don't know, was a television series that ran for about 3 seasons, headed by a guy called Rob Thomas, tremendously creative writer and director. And it stars this teenage detective who goes around solving crimes with her father in the fictional California city of Neptune. The movie picks up about 10 years later, after the end of the 3rd season, and does its best to tie up some loose ends we saw in the series. What happens is her ex-boyfriend, Logan Eccles, gets charged with murder. His pop star girlfriend is found dead in the bathtub. He's the prime suspect, pretty much, quote-unquote, caught red-handed. Well, obviously, things are not what they seem, so it's up to Veronica and her skills and some of her friends to help solve this crime. And it also happens to be the 10-year reunion of Neptune High. you see a lot of familiar characters show up, some very nice callbacks to the series, and ultimately, it's a pretty good detective movie. And this came out in limited release. I think it made $3 or $4 million at the box office. Its Kickstarter raised something like $5 million or something. I think it just fell short of $6 million. But ridiculously well done. It's a Kristen Bell is an absolute joy in this movie. Enrico Colatoni as Keith Mars, Jason Doring as Logan Eccles. Big fan of everybody in this movie. And for those of you that aren't fans of the series, this might get you interested. Now, the main reason I'm actually going to recommend that you pick this particular film up, special features. And there is an hour-long documentary called By the Fans, The Making of the Veronica Mars Movie. And basically, everybody involved tells how they started from the initial day the Kickstarter went to pretty much the end of production and Comic-Con and all the fan events. And you get to see a lot of really neat behind-the-scenes footage. Like, I didn't realize the guys that played Wallace and Weevil went to Comic-Con and brought people donuts at 6 o'clock in the morning because people were camping out for this, like, fan event. Or talking to people who came from Hong Kong to be an extra in a movie where they might get maybe 3 seconds of screen time or something like that. And it's really a love letter to the fans. And I'm so happy that they took the time to do it right. And it's definitely one of the best special features I've seen for a movie like this, considering how small the budget was. They took the time to make the special features good. So I imagine that's where some of the Kickstarter money went. They also have these smaller things, which is just called More On-Set Fun. There are 4 of them. 2 of them suck. Actually, no. 1 of them sucks. 3 of them are good. Let me reverse that. The best one is called The Game Show. And that's between the guy that plays Piz and Kristen Bell, and it's pretty funny. And another funny one is The Monkey Man, which I'll let you figure that one out when you get there. And finally, there are deleted scenes, and they don't really add a whole lot to the plot. It's just basically dialogue that gets cut. Nothing that really changes the pace of the movie or any significant plot points. But still, I'm glad they did include it to see what was there. I'm actually really surprised there was no commentary on this, but I kind of wonder if there was a DVD for Kickstarter people that may have stuff like this. I don't know, as of this recording. But still, the Veronica Mars movie, very cool, so affordable. If you pick up the movie, pick up the series, I really think a lot of people will enjoy it. There aren't many shows that are this intelligent on TV anymore, and Veronica Mars could solve that Pretty Little Liars bullshit in about 3 episodes or half a season, I promise you that much. Finally, coming to us from Warner Brothers, which Veronica Mars also did, we're looking at Son of Batman, the latest DC animated movie to come out featuring Damian Wayne and adapting a storyline that came out a couple of years ago from the books. And basically what it is, Talia al Ghul had a night of passion with Batman and she bore a son, Damian, who's being trained by her and Ra's al Ghul to take over the League of Assassins at some point in his life. So Deathstroke shows up and decides, nope, screw that, and basically slaughters everybody. And the movie concerns Talia giving Damian to Bruce, to Batman, saying, protect him, look after him, I have to go rebuild the League of Assassins. So Damian is like 10 years old, is just about as good as Batman in a fight. In fact, he actually makes fun of Robin for the original costume. He's like, this looks kind of girly. Does it come with a floral bonnet or something equally funny? And it's really amazing just to see how much love went into this. I think this is probably one of the better DC animated ones I've seen in a while. And for some reason, DC animated has this weird thing about casting people from Criminal Minds. Thomas Gibson stars as Deathstroke in this. You might remember him as the guy who played Greg in Dharma and Greg. I loathe him on Criminal Minds. I hate that show. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net if you disagree with me, which likely you probably do. They also have the guy, I think Jason Mara is continuing his role as Batman, which this one is post-Justice League War, so it's in the same universe. So I'm really hoping they continue having Robin in future movies, or at least address where he is when the next big one comes out, which I think is called Arkham, Assault on Arkham, which is kind of like Batman's Suicide Squad, more or less. But anyway, the movie itself, genuinely entertaining. Very, very violent. The kid, I wish I knew his name off the top of my head. The kid that plays Damian, he sounds young, but quite capable. And like I said, there's great performances in this. Special features on this are leave a little bit to be desired, I think. The last two DC animated features had better ones. This one, they're about 15, the longest one is about 15 minutes, I think, and the shortest one is like 10, but you get, Strange Ties, Damian Wayne, The Fang and the Demon Head, The League of Assassins, and design the characters with Phil Borussia. Plus you get the Assault on Arkham preview, and you always get a couple episodes from the DC Animated Vault, which they're never in super high definition quality as far as I can tell. Ultimately though, picking this up, you're not going to be doing yourself any disservice. It's a great Batman flick. In fact, almost all the Batman animated are really, really good. The only one that I was disappointed in was maybe Year One, but it kind of grows on you after a while. Son of Batman, I'd say, is probably definitely in my top five. My favorite being Red Hood would probably be my favorite one though. But anyway, guys, so that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of Review-O-Rama Solo Edition. Hope you guys will check out these things. Once again, Batman coming to us from Warner Brothers, Veronica Mars coming to us from Warner Brothers, Knights of Badassum from E1, and King of Chinatown. I can't read it on the... I think it's IndiePix, but just type it into Amazon. You'll find it, I'm sure. And finally, Konami with Metal Gear Solid, The Phantom Pain, or Ground Zeroes. I hate giving you guys bad news. But anyway, guys, like I said, big thanks to Playmates for supplying all these review materials and all the other companies. So be sure to be looking out for more material. Got some cool stuff coming up on the site this week. More Beyond the Gauntlets coming up soon. We record next weekend. And lots of good stuff leading up to pretty much the end of the month, because this month we're talking X-Men. I'm excited. So, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear... somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.